Hey there, tax fans. Welcome to State Tax Talks with me, your host, Joe Tantillo. I'm a tax attorney at the Hodge and Russ Law Firm looking to explore the nuances of state and local tax law. Here on the show, our goal is to keep tax informative, simple, and fun. So if you're ready to talk tax, turn up the volume and dive into this episode of State Tax Talks. Welcome, tax fans, to another episode of State Tax Talks with Joe Tantillo. Today, we're going to be discussing the exciting topic of non-resident allocation and apportionment. I have with me Mr. Chris Doyle and Mr. Drew Wright, both partners at Hodgson Russ. Drew is a partner in the SALT Group. He's a graduate of Syracuse University College of Law, go Orange, and he's an expert in the field of tax residency and tax dispute resolution. Drew's been recognized as a rising star in tax on the Upstate New York Super Lawyers list. And Chris is also a partner in the at Hodge & Russ and is the practice area leader for the state and local tax group. Chris is a graduate of the University at Buffalo School of Law and is expertly versed in tax-wise transaction structuring as well as tax controversy representation at every level. Chris has been named an Upstate New York Super Lawyer in the field of tax many times, including most recently in 2022. Gentlemen, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, Joe.
Excited to be here.
All right, so let's start off with a very important question, and one that I know could be discussed at length, probably for an episode in its own right, but allocation versus apportionment. What is the difference?
So I think it's easiest to think of allocating as taking a particular item of income or expense and saying it belongs in a particular jurisdiction. So, for instance, if you sell real property, if you sell your house in New York, the gain you recognize on the sale of your house is New York source income, even if you are living in Australia when you make that sale. Apportionment is the act of taking all of your income, you glom it all together, all your income and expenses, you come up with a net income number, and then you use a formula to apportion it to a particular jurisdiction. So you can use a formula based on days worked. If you spend, 3 days out of 200, then you take, 1.5% of your wage income and allocate it to New York. Or you could use a formula based on your business's receipts and apportion it that way. Or you could use a formula based on property, payroll, and receipts, which is what some states do and what New York State does for personal income taxes that involve business income.
So these terms are not, in fact, interchangeable.
They're not interchangeable, but many states do use them improperly, including New York State, which refers to its formulary apportionment fraction as the business allocation percentage, which confuses a lot of people, but it shouldn't confuse people that listen to this podcast.
Right. So call a tax lawyer if you're confused on the difference between these two things, or just re-listen to the first 60 seconds of this podcast over and over until it is burned into your memory.
Or get a life.
Yeah. And, the allocation versus apportionment when approaching whether income should be allocated or apportioned, where do you start? How do you know?
So it starts with the statute. Well, if you want to go deep into the weeds, it starts with the federal constitution.
There we go.
You knew that Professor Doyle was going to come out eventually. The federal constitution says, for the most part, that we're one government comprised of 50 states. And each of those 50 states gets to act with a fair degree of autonomy. Within that area of autonomy are certain overarching rules. One is the Due Process Clause that says pretty much you can't have a state tax something that it would be unfair for the state to tax. And if you've got, for instance, if you live in Australia and you sell a piece of real property in New York State and Florida wants to tax a piece of that income, well, Florida can't because you're in Australia and the real property is in New York, so it would be unfair for Florida, which has really no connection to you or the income, to tax the income. That's the Due Process Clause. There's also something called the Dormant Interstate Commerce Clause, and whether that survives this term of the Supreme Court or not, we'll see in a few months. But it has been construed by past Supreme Courts to prohibit a state from imposing a tax if it would unduly burden interstate commerce. And that seems, as I've indicated, that seems to be falling by the wayside. It seems more like the due process clause, fundamental fairness test is what is going to end up ruling the day. So when you look at due process, then you look to how it applies to what the laws of the particular jurisdiction you're looking at. So New York State has its own tax law, and New York State's tax law can go as far as the due process clause will allow it, but no further. And what that means, again, is that it can tax income in its borders, or it can tax people that are domiciled or resident in its borders, or it can tax fully tax businesses that are domiciled in its borders. New York State doesn't do that with businesses. For economic development reasons, New York State taxes businesses only on apportioned income. It does not try to tax those businesses that are domiciled here on all of their incomes. But with respect to people, New York State takes a different approach. People, individuals, if you're a resident of New York State, then you get taxed on all of your income, be it from New York or Pennsylvania or Australia or Wisconsin.
Hmm. So under the concept of fairness, you could, hypothetically speaking, live and be a resident and a domiciliary of New York State, and all of your income could be generated from outside of New York State, and yet you would still pay tax to New York State on all of that income.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, when you don't apportion income for a domiciliary, there are resident credits that apply to even the playing field. So if you end up paying tax in two jurisdictions because you've earned all your income in Illinois, but you live in New York, your state of domicile, New York in this case, would give you a credit for the tax that you paid to Illinois.
So it comes out as a net zero, basically. Well, not a net zero, but you don't end up getting double taxed in most situations.
A net zero, except the accountants make more money.
Yes. All right. Well, I think that gives us a good foundation for an understanding of allocation versus apportionment. So let's dive in now to the most common situation with respect to allocation and apportionment, which is the taxing of non-resident individuals. And the focus today here is going to be mostly on New York. However, lots of states tax non-resident individuals, so there may be some dabbling into multi-state taxation, as there has been on other episodes of this podcast. But let's talk about taxing non-resident individuals in New York. So you start off with the premise that you are taxed on your source income as a non-resident. What is source income for those listening who do not know the concept?
I think it's easiest to think of source income is being that income which is inextricably connected to the jurisdiction seeking to tax it. So if you sell, again, at the individual level, if you're a non-resident, and if you sell tangible property or real property in New York State, any gain from the sale of that tangible property gets allocated to New York State. If you are engaged in a trade or business where, you know, for instance, you live in Florida and you perform accounting services for New York clients, New York probably can tax all of the income apportioned using that formula apportionment to New York. New York can tax that.
So does all income have a source? Any income you can possibly imagine?
So, no. There are instances of sourceless income, and states are sort of picking away at the edges, but for instance, if you get a dividend on publicly traded stock or dividend on non-publicly traded C corporation stock, or if you have a gain or a loss from the sale of stock, C corporation stock in particular, that is deemed sourceless, either income or loss, depending on what it is.
Who's making these rules?
So the states are mostly making these rules, but the federal constitution does come into play from time to time. And, you know, interestingly, there is a whole different regime for international taxation when the nation states are trying to determine what income is attributable to a particular country. There's a whole different regime involving treaties. But because, again, of our U.S. federal constitution, where we're states are given significant autonomy on how they determine their systems of taxation, we don't have treaties between states for the most part. In some instances, we have reciprocity states, and I think Drew will probably talk about those.
Drew, would you like to talk about the reciprocity states?
Well, so in what area are we talking about, I guess, right? So I mean, we see all the time in New York where they don't respect the determination of other states, right? So I think about, you know, the convenience rule as a really good example. Issues come up in allocation audits where we're looking at the source of wage income, and New York applies its rules, right? They want to tax that income based on its rules, and they don't really care so much what other states have to say about it.
What's the benefit to a state not communicating with a neighboring state or even a state a couple states over on these issues of sourcing, on these issues of allocation? I mean, you have people out there who feel personally attacked by the system of taxation that we have in New York. Is there an actual benefit to the state of New York, to the state legislature, in not having greater cooperation between themselves and other states?
Sure. If you want every possible tax, nickel and dime that you can possibly get, the way you get there is by not cooperating or not agreeing to any sort of, you know, reciprocity with any other state. The reciprocal states I was thinking of are the states in the Midwest where they say it doesn't matter where you work, only the state of domicile can tax your compensation income. I think Wisconsin and Minnesota, and there's a bunch of states in the middle of the country that have reciprocity agreements.
See, that's, to me, seems fair, right? You know, we started talking about fairness a little while ago, but it's interesting, this issue of sourcing and taxation of non-residents in a increasingly, I hate to say an increasingly globalized world, an increasingly remote world. I don't know. I don't want to sound like a political cliche, but we have people moving all over the place and operating in a less of a fixed position than they were for pretty much all of human history. I mean, we've had a paradigm shift with the pandemic. And, you know, I think there's a question out there for tax professionals like ourselves, and not that we're going to be the ones solving it because it's up to the legislature at the end of the day, but is, you know, a move away from just that traditional, you're taxed in the state of domicile, the right thing to do as things get grayer and grayer? Or do we think the tax law probably just becomes even grayer and grayer itself to, you know, basically keep itself in a way that allows it to tax people who are moving constantly?
It's an interesting sort of long-term hypothetical policy question, right? Because certainly someone who practices on the ground in the personal income tax area in New York, I can certainly tell you that especially post-COVID world, people are pushed away from these kind of super aggressive rules that New York has. They don't think they're fair. And I think it has caused a lot of people that we advise to break ties to New York in ways that they probably historically would not have. And I think in the short term, you know, New York probably doesn't see that or feel the impacts. But, you know, I've started to wonder over the last couple of years, when the dust settles on these kind of 2020 and 2021 residency and income allocation audits, I think New York's going to see that a lot of their former personal income tax dollars have walked out the door, and then they have to reevaluate this, right? And think about what, you know, what does this look like long term?
So on the bigger question that you posed, whether, you know, eventually the multi-state, state and local tax level of complexity will somehow suffocate itself. Absolutely, it's true that a single unified approach to the state taxation of businesses and individuals makes total sense, would be far more efficient. It would make it impossible for states to give out incentives to draw business away or people away that are tax-driven. Like the decisions on where to place your business and where to live, they should be based on things other than taxation. But right now, a lot of people make that decision purely based on taxation because all of the rules are different, and which is a silly way to go about things. But I don't see it ending anytime soon. And if there's any young person out there that's thinking about getting their CPA or going to law school and getting a law degree, absolutely state and tax, state and local tax is a huge growth area, and you should get into it because it's going to be here forever.
No doubt. No doubt. All right. Folks, we're going to take a brief pause here. We're discussing non-resident allocation and apportionment with Chris Doyle and Drew Wright. We're going to pick up this conversation in next week's episode, which will be part two of this discussion. Thanks for joining us for another episode of State Tax Talks. If you're interested in listening to more episodes, we're available on all platforms where podcasts can be found, including YouTube. If you enjoyed this episode of State Tax Talks with Joe Tantillo, please give us a 5-star review on your favorite podcast platform. And if you're in need of a tax professional, you can contact the tax attorneys at Hodgson Russ. Go to www.hodgsonruss.com for more information. And until next time, I'm Joe Tantillo, and this is State Tax Talks. Catch you later, tax fans.